It's tax season. Time to call RSG Accounting Services for your tax service needs. Call 412-742-4345. That's 412-742-4345. RSG Accounting Services provides accounting and tax service needs for business or personal. RSG Accounting Services wants to work for you and all your tax needs. Call us or email Mary Jo at RiversideSalesGroup.com. If you mention you heard this at Urban Media Today Radio, you'll receive a 10% discount. Riverside Sales Group LLC is proud to be an organization with minority ownership. RSG Accounting Services for all your tax needs. Call today, 412-742-4345.
Soul Tape. Champions Live is the name. Talking sports is our game. Welcome to Urban Media Today Radio. I'm your co-host, Bill Neal, along with Kevin Cameron. It is Soul Take, Champions Live sports talk show. And it's going to be live today. Now, I've been warned about, you know, kicking the show off with a bang and saying the right things to get things started. And people want to act like, Smitty, they want to act like I ain't had 30 years in the business. I ain't mad at nobody. But I'll tell you what I'll start it with. Now, we're joined again today by Robert Rock Robinson. I've always said this about certain kind of names. You know, if you say Cher, you know who Cher is. If you say Michael, you know, was either Jackson or Jordan. You know, it's not hard. If you say Rock.
Hey, Bill, it can't be either or. I mean, if you say a name, that name has to stick. No,
if you say Michael, if there's old people, they got Jordan. If there's young people, they got Jackson.
No, so, not at all. Michael Jackson is MJ. Period. Okay. MJ.
And then we're back to the other thing, Trev. Each week I keep reminding him to quit interrupting me. That's the other thing that we got
to
work on.
You need to be interrupted a whole lot.
But what I was going to allude to is, but when you hear Rock, it's either Marciano or Robinson.
There you go. Either or again.
It's an either or situation. So we're joined again today by Robert Rock Robinson, golf aficionado, if you will, Pittsburgh native, Schenley graduate, recent inductee, first class of the Pittsburgh City League Hall of Fame inductees as a baseball player. Can play some basketball, Moody, if he got to. He can go. He can hold his own. Got a little football in him. He can do this. You know, city boys can do it all. That's right. The way we came up. But that's not really the subject matter. The subject matter is, and it's on tape if you want to go find it, because you know Soul Take Champions Lives drops to you every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And if you Urban Media Today, you find it. Urban Media Today Sports, you find it. If you miss it Wednesday at 7, it's in the clouds, as they say. You can find it anytime. So to that point, you can go find what I'm about to tell you is true, because Kevin Cameron, Rock, I call him the professional's professional. He's really a professional man. But you, of course, you were here, Rock, so you remember him saying Tiger was going to win the Masters.
And I said it.
Now, that came after he was trying to insist to you, as it went, he said to you, Rock, what's harder, playing golf or baseball? And you assured him that
golf was
harder. But he insisted to you that baseball was harder. Yeah, now, Moody, you got baseball.
Okay,
background.
Okay. There
but,
we
but
go.
We'll come back to that. But so after insisting to the golf aficionado that he didn't know what he was talking about, then when the golf aficionado said Tiger will not win the Masters, Kevin Cameron said that he would win the Masters. Now, somebody in this room help me. What Tiger finished? 92nd, 98th in the field.
I'll help you there, Bill. Okay, because you only, as always, you tell half the story.
Well, if it benefits me, that's all I'm going to do.
You tell half the story. I did say that Tiger would win, but Rock, you said who would win? Who did you have?
I had just Dustin Johnson, the number one ranked player.
Did he win?
He was in the top 10.
I didn't ask you that.
He did not win.
The trophy.
He did not win.
Okay, so we were both wrong, correct?
That's correct.
Thank you. Go, Bill.
Well, we're not doubting that both of you were wrong. What I'm saying is you were wrong. my finger's pointed at you. Uh-huh. Let me remind you of something else, too. Now, this is just between me and you.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretend like ain't nobody else in the room but
okay,
us.
Okay, we'll do that.
There's another reason they call him Rock. So you better take that bass out your voice. You know, you keep going at him with that bass in your voice.
Yeah, okay.
You don't come up on the hill with a nickname Rock and you can't roll.
I can hold my own.
You know, if your nickname is Rock and you get beat up, then you change your name to Jelly or something. Yeah, yeah. But you don't even got that name.
And again, we need the full truth, not just...
Because you because you were from Aliquippa, so you ain't worried.
Exactly.
Okay.
I'm all in. Let's do it.
Well, look, let's have some serious talk. You know, as we may reference. Oh, but before we have that serious talk, let me let our listeners know that we're also joined today by two of Pittsburgh's finest from the urban officials of Western Pennsylvania, the chapter that is now celebrating its 46th year of service to the community and athletics. Are joining us today, Craig Smith, who is a legend as an official. If you've ever seen him officiate a game, you know why the legend follows him. And Wayne Moody, a youngster in the group, approaching one of them big O's in his life, but he's been blowing the whistle for a long time too. So we're gonna talk to these guys about the legacy of the Urban Officials chapter and what it's meant. And let's be honest, the Urban Officials chapter was initially a chapter for black people because black people couldn't get games.
Right.
So, I mean, we got a real fancy name for it, but what it started as was an opportunity to give black men, now women, an opportunity to officiate in all sports. And they are a groundbreaking organization. So we'll talk to them momentarily, but getting back, I want Rock to be able to defend himself. He don't need me to defend himself. So the Masters is over. Tiger out the gate. It looked like he didn't have it. And as the time went on, it showed itself. And as Trev made reference to, he has nothing to be ashamed of ever again and when he steps on the golf course. But your assessment of the Masters and Tiger's finish?
My assessment was, as I stated, Tiger would not win, and I gave some reasons last week. And Kevin alluded to that I was looking at things not from my head or my heart. He took it from his heart, and I was looking at it from my head, looking at it realistically based on the quality of players and where Tiger is today. He will win again. He just, as I stated, wouldn't win this Masters. He will win another Masters. It may be 4 or 5 years down the road, just as Jack Nicklaus did. But Tiger, to me, coming back playing, having not played since 2015 and played, I thought he accorded himself quite well. He says he wasn't driving the ball well, but he also wasn't putting. He also wasn't hitting many greens. So Tiger was not really having a good, for Tiger. Now, I'm not talking about anybody else. Tiger was not having a good Masters.
As you well know, and as the world knows by now, I don't know which end is up with a golf club, but clearly I understand the difficulties in playing the game. Anytime a ball is sitting stationary and people can't hit it, there must be something up with that. So we know how difficult the game is. In this case, Rob, when you have a guy as masterful as Tiger, and one would assume that none of the mental part of it all was bothering him because he's strong mentally. He is coming off back surgery, so that's got to matter to him probably all the time. You never know when it might go again. But my question is, what causes a guy that masterful to go off kilter to that degree?
Pressure.
Even him.
In his practice rounds, he tore up the par fives. He was eagling them. He was birdieing him, almost every one. When the bell rang, he probably only birdied. He eagled one of them during the whole thing, but he only birdied like two or three others. That's his strong suit, the ability to tear up par fives. He set the record or tied the record with three other gentlemen by having 15 birdies or shooting 15 under par in four rounds. At the Masters. That's phenomenal.
So even a guy like Tiger can fall victim to pressure.
Absolutely.
And to that point.
And he said that.
And to that point, and Kev, you can take it. You know what Muhammad Ali said? He said, I was nervous before every fight. Even the greatest.
Gets nervous.
But that nervousness is what fueled him. But go ahead, Kev. I know you're trying to clean up your position and how you fell short. So go ahead, man. I know you're biting at the bit.
What, clean up on aisle five, huh?
Here's the deal. I spoke too soon. I said that Tiger would win. He will win. And again, I believe he'll break Jack Nicklaus's record. Okay? He's at
14.
He needs 18 to tie, 19 to win. I think he'll do it. With golf, and again, I had Tiger to win this one, but I misspoke, because one of the hardest sports to win in, I know we had the argument regarding which sport is the hardest, baseball or golf.
You lost that argument,
too. But I'll say no, I did not.
We took a vote.
Well, we're not going to talk about that right now, but let me stay on the subject. The hardest sport to win, by far, is golf. And as I mentioned last week, there were 87 pro golfers in the field, Rod, not 120.
You're right.
It was 87 golfers.
I was going to correct that for you today.
Thank you. So, and again, golf is...
And only 50 make the cut.
Right. Now, golf is an international sport. You have all the best players across the globe coming to play. And I misspoke, because there's no way in the world, and don't let anyone tell you, that a particular person is going to win a golf tournament, more especially a major, because you have all the best golfers in the world at the one event. And you never know which one of those best golfers in the world will have their day. Will have the best day. If you take a look at the field, Patrick Reed won by being 15 under par. You had Jordan Spieth, who came in third at minus 13. And then you had Ricky Fowler, who came in second at minus 14. So those scores were good enough to win in any given day, with the exception of this past weekend. Okay, because Patrick Reed,
by the way, I disagree with this theory, but go ahead.
Played that much better, and it's fact. There's no way in the world you could sit up here and ever say, and I made the mistake myself, and there's no way you could sit here and say that an individual is going to win that particular tournament. You can't say it for the Open. You can't say it for the U.S. Open. You can't say it for what's the fourth major, PGA Championship, because these golfers are just so good that any one of them, for the most part, 87 golfers in the field, I guarantee you probably, I would say, 30 of them had a legitimate chance to win that tournament. You take a person like Sergio Garcia, who didn't even make the cut. He made 13 on one hole. Okay, so what it comes down to, and the reason I believe that Tiger will win and beat Jack Nicklaus's record, when you're a professional golfer, it's about being consistent. Okay, and Tiger just was not consistent enough in the Masters to have a chance to win.
What did you want to offer, Rock? You disagree with something?
What I wanted to offer was, he may not have been around 20 years ago when Tiger won by 12, the Masters.
And who wasn't around?
And was expected to.
And was expected to.
I was going to offer that as well.
1997, Tiger won the Masters by 12. His rookie year, he didn't make the cut.
There you go.
As an amateur. But Tiger is the exception. Keep in mind, Tiger was winning at a rate that was by far higher than ever.
And what was that
rate? He was projected to win every tournament he came into.
What was that rate?
It was probably about 30%.
Not at all. Tiger Woods won, if you check his record, the tournament he competes in, he wins 25% of his matches. versus now, Bill versus Bill Mickerson wins 5% of the time. So that's the big difference that Rock is
look
talking
back,
about.
Look back when he first started from 1997 to 2007. You'll see it's a higher percentage.
Professionally.
That's when he was a professional.
We're talking about professional.
He went. He won 20. His record right now is 25% of the time.
If you picked him for, there's four Masters. So if you picked him for all four, he was going to win one.
Win one of them.
Right. So therefore, you could say this man would win a major.
Yeah. But if you have a one out of four chance of winning one of those four tournaments, you're not sitting here guaranteeing that an individual golfer is going to win that tournament. Well, if it's only one out of four, that's the only thing I'm saying.
Well, there's no absolute guarantee, and I'm sure that there was a time when Palmer and Nicklaus were expected to win.
Yes.
I mean, there's an expectation that comes with greatness. I want to offer this, and wake up, Smitty. We warn you? No, Smitty dozed off on us over here. Hey, listen, just as a sidebar, and everybody can chime in here, I think the toughest sport to win at is boxing. I think the hardest sport to win at, because when you talk about the numbers and being finite as a champion, just for the sake of sidebar consideration, I think boxing might be the hardest sport.
And I beg to disagree with you. Like, sitting in this room right now, Bill, if I'm a boxer, I get to pick who I want to fight. Okay, if I want to fight Trevin, if I want to fight you, if I want to stay away from Rock, I can stay away from Rock.
Well, I'm not talking about that. That's why the politics of boxing.
In boxing, you pick your own schedule.
Well, see, now that's the politics of boxing. I'm not offering that. I'm talking about the talent and what it takes to be a winner, because that kind of politics in Boston and boxing has existed forever. But Muhammad Ali fought everybody. Mike Tyson fought everybody. So there were fighters who fought everybody. I'm not looking for that. I'm talking about what it takes to win.
Spin it whichever way you want to spin it. I disagree.
Moody, you wanted to offer a thought?
Yeah. Well, I've got to disagree with both of you. I think
take the mic away from him. Don't give him the microphone.
Track and field is the hardest sport to excel in because it's one-on-one. And that's why
boxing's one-on-one.
Boxing's one-on-one, but it's a sport that you can learn. You can learn how to box. You have to have that innate ability in track and field.
Either you have it or you don't.
But golf is 1-on-20. How you like those chances?
Exactly. One to 120. Like one
against 120 when you start.
One versus 80 or one versus 100.
Yeah. I just think it's an interesting conversation, you know, because, you know, I'm just thinking in terms of, like, one might offer decathlon. Mm-hmm. One might offer marathon. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, like, so what's it take to be a marathon champion and consistently? Mm-hmm. I mean, just for the sake of sidebar conversation, I would think it would be harder to become Muhammad Ali than it would be to become Tiger Woods. Ooh. Interesting, right?
Ooh. Yeah, interesting, but how about Usain Bolt? Usain Bolt did something that no one has ever done. You know, he won, what was it, three or four straight Olympics? Three straight Olympics. No one's ever come close to doing that.
Well, now let me just throw this out. I could be wrong. I think Edwin Moses.
Okay.
Won four, right. and he never lost a race. I think he won 110 or 119 consecutive races.
But he lost his last one.
But your point, everybody loses one. But your point about either you're blessed with it or you're not.
Right.
I mean, that's a relevant point. I mean, you can teach quickness, but you can't necessarily teach speed.
Right.
It is offered on occasion.
If I can throw something in the equation, I think you need to look at mortals and immortals. In all these sports that you're looking at, there were individuals that dominated the sport. Jack Dempsey in boxing, Joe Louis in boxing. And you can go on and on about different sports where you had people that were really good. But let's look at, when I say mortals, I'm talking about people like us. What sport would be the most difficult for us to play, and I think it would be golf.
As opposed to the immortals that were just put here by the gods.
And Michael Jordan was going to be Michael Jordan for me. Oscar Robertson was going to be Oscar Robertson no matter what. And there wasn't anything that you could do when these players performed in their era.
While we're in this area, we're off the beaten path, but we'll come back in a second. Something intrigues me further. Let me start with Kev. Greatest athlete of all time.
Greatest athlete of all time,
any sport, in your opinion. And this is always a good conversation piece. Come on, we're on live, man.
You're
not. Which is, yeah. I'm a little bit, we'll come back to you. Go ahead, Moody. The greatest athlete of all time, any sport.
Bo Jackson. Bo Jackson, because he excelled in two sports. Absolutely dominated in football, dominated in baseball, was an all-star in both. Probably the greatest athlete I've ever seen.
That's interesting. I can't, and I love Bo, but go ahead, Rock. Who you got?
I got to go with Bo Jackson like my man.
Okay.
Bo was a beast.
Yeah, he was, and you can't.
And don't forget, Bo also ran track. Bo was also a beast on the track field.
And you know the legend of Bo jumping over a moving car.
Oh, yeah.
But you know the legend about Bo Jackson that scares me the most? That he was in water waist deep and jumped up and did a complete flip out of the water. That's power personified. Smitty, greatest athlete of all time.
I got everybody beat. Jim Thorpe.
Jim Thorpe.
Now, Jim Thorpe did everything.
And that's what made me bring it up, because they were just talking about him just recently as being the greatest athlete we've ever had in this country.
But I didn't see Jim Thorpe before my time.
I read a couple books on him, and I'm upset that he wasn't one of us, but he was an Indian. And he was American Indian, and he was all that in a bag of chips.
Well, what do you mean you were disappointed that he wasn't one of us?
Well, I would have to say, if I was very truthful, and I'm being truthful on the radio, which is kind of scary, that, you know, we're always biased toward our own. They're always biased to their own. It's not bad. It's just the truth.
But you are who you are.
Right. So he's simply saying it would be great if Jim Thorpe would have been a brother.
Absolutely.
We can't have them all, Smitty. We got to spread them around. Now, before we go back to Kevin for his answer, so to Smitty's point, there has been a lot of, and to Rock's point, none of us seen Jim Thorpe live, right. And the closest we came to it was Burt Lancaster, right. Jim Thorpe, All-American.
There you go.
But it does make you stop and think how great this guy must have been that he still talked about, right. in this manner, that he still recognized to this degree. But I'm going with, the greatest athlete of all time for me is Jim Brown.
And you took my.
I'm going Jim Brown going, now. Bill. Let's remember.
That's where I was going.
He's the standard in NFL football. Probably could have been just as great a linebacker as he was running back. Recognized as the greatest college lacrosse player of all time. You know that track would have been nothing but warm up for him. I remind young kids today, if for as much as we love Barry Sanders and Jerome Bettis and all those guys, look at some Jim Brown films. Now, granted, there weren't as many blacks playing defensively. But I always offer this. All things are relative. He played against the best that there was and proved to be far better than they were. Like a young guy down at Savoy always says to me, "Oh, Mr. Neal, you got Chamberlain as the greatest player of all time. He wouldn't do that today." To which I respond to him, "If nobody ever stopped him then, what makes you think anybody's going to stop him now?"
Because they don't play defense.
I mean, nobody. The man was 7'2", 310 pounds. I don't care what era you put him in, or Jim Brown, or Al Lee, all things are relative. Greatness is going to be great.
That's a flawed argument.
Well, I have this argument all the time. But you
can't base it on based on what he did 40 years ago and what he could do today. The game is just totally different. That matters. So that's the only thing I'm saying.
So you're saying that Al Lee then wouldn't be as great as he is now?
Not at all. I'm just saying the basis that you're utilizing isn't good.
Because you say so?
No, because it's fact. It's a whole different game.
There's a guy.
I mean,
did he tell you the same thing last week? He told you Tiger's going to win because he said so.
You couldn't play zone defense back in that time. They didn't have a 3-point line. They didn't have 3 seconds on the defense, so on and so forth.
So you're saying that to say?
I'm just saying your basis is off. I'm not saying I disagree with you that he would be able to do it today, but the reason that you're given is not a good reason.
Well, I don't know how the reason can't be good if the facts are true. Jim Brown would be as great a running back today as he was then because he would have access to everything everybody has access to today.
That's like telling
that's
me
why
Jack
it's all
Hamm,
relative.
That's just like telling me Jack Hamm would be just as effective today as he was back in the 70s when he played linebackers for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I believe he would.
When today the NFL is a totally different game.
But he would adjust to the difference.
Well,
it's all relative.
You have to have the skill set of today's NFL in order to be effective.
And he has that skill set. That's to Smitty's point, the immortals, the great ones.
You could place him in anywhere.
Anywhere. They separate themselves from the rest of us no matter what. So if you think for one moment that Jim Brown today is not going to train the same way, eat the same things, have the same nutrition, and be equal to the task, you're sadly mistaken.
There's a whole lot of players in the past that would be able to be just effective today.
I agree to that.
Than they were.
I agree to that.
When they played.
But we're talking about.
Okay, Jim Brown would definitely be just as
Gale
effective.
Gale Sayers.
Gale Sayers, I agree with you, but the basis that you're using is incorrect.
Okay, and you offered that yet again.
Yes.
So the rest of us are having a hard time with you telling me.
No,
my information.
You're having a hard time.
No, me and my friends.
You're having a hard time.
Me and my friends are having a hard time
with
you telling me my stuff is incorrect.
Let's go back to golf, and Rock could attest to this as well.
Be careful.
Golf today, no, it's fact. Golf today is a lot different than it was 30, even 20 years ago, with everything from different types of balls, different types of equipment, the way they modify the golf courses today. So if you take the golfers in the past, I would think that they would be just as good from a standpoint because they'll have better equipment.
And that the reflexes, hand-eye coordination, all those superior things that a person is born with will come with him in any era. That's what I'm saying. You're going to have
They will follow the technology.
Exactly.
And that's the only thing I'm saying. It's different today. So the basis that you're using, I used a different basis when I made the analogy with golf, okay, because the older players would be just as effective or probably even better. I would say, Rod, that they would probably be even better because they were able to achieve what they did with inferior equipment.
Well, look,
I wouldn't call it inferior. It was the equipment of that era. I wouldn't call it inferior.
I'm saying that's compared to today's equipment.
Remember, someone made a statement that to Tiger that he's beating all these guys playing inferior equipment.
Right.
Remember that statement?
And that's you're making my point.
And
now
you
give him some battery equipment.
And you know what?
Well, here's what I know. You got to hold that thought, or as Trev says, keep it for the show. We'll be back momentarily to talk about some NBA stuff. And since we have some officials in the room, we'll talk about some NFL rule changes. Is it a catch? Is it ain't a catch? Who knows? And your Pittsburgh Penguins. If you boys and girls could see the studio, you would know that I'm the only Pittsburgh Penguin fan in the house. So we'll come back with all that in a moment.
Looking for some magic? Urban Media Today Radio. For the very best in adult and urban music. Listen to us on our app at TuneIn or Live 365. Urban Media Today features great music, entertainment updates, HBCU sports, breakfast, toast, and jams mixes for your morning wake up, and sports. Like us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram and register to win prizes on a weekly basis. All right here on Urban Media Today Radio.